Can you just explain what the rise in US and Chinese wine consumption has meant for Australian producers over the last 5 years?
Yeah, well, it's been quite a distinct shift. It's difficult in a lot of ways because when Australian wine really hit the world stage, a large focus was on the UK market. That was really one of the key drivers and catalysts for the Australian wine industry. And so it has meant a bit of a shift in focus, which isn't always easy to do. So it has meant more focus on other markets like the US. Unfortunately, the Australian wine category has languished a little bit in the US after experiencing quite a rapid rise and in favour for a number of years there, but unfortunately it's languished and its reputation has suffered a little bit since.
The report notes that the US has overtaken France as in terms of wine consumption. Is that because there's more drinkers there or because there's less in France over the past 5 years?
It's a combination of both. What we have seen in the traditional wine producing countries of Europe like Italy, France and Spain is that consumption has been declining quite rapidly, albeit from very, very high levels. So they still consume per capita much, you know, almost twice or more than we consume here in Australia or other parts of the world. So yes, there has been declines there, but it has been a steady growth in consumption and per capita consumption in the US. So a combination of both.
How significant has the introduction and rise in use of flexi tanks been for shipping bulk wine?
Look, it's been quite a dramatic shift in amongst new world producing countries now. It's roughly 50-50 in terms of what's shipped in bottle and what's shipped in a bulk container. And there's been a number of reasons for that. One is that wine, particularly at the more mainstream value end, is much more commoditized and traded globally now. So there's that element. There's also the other element of just trying to strip costs out of the supply chain because we know that there's been pressure on profitability in a lot of key markets like the UK and Europe. So markets like Germany and the UK, there's been a lot of pressure on the profit margins of suppliers as retailers have become more powerful and also because of the economic headwinds over there. So shipping in bulk has been much more economic.
You mentioned before that bulk and bottled are almost 50-50 and, you know, that's been a huge rise since 2003 with the catch-up in those two categories. Is there any predictions of an overtake in bulk wine?
Oh, look, I think there'll still be growth at the margin, but we're predicting that the bulk of that shift has actually, you know, pardon the pun, has already taken place because a lot of the world's major wine exporting companies, particularly in the New World, have already made that shift over the last decade. And it really only makes sense once your brand is of a certain scale as well. So smaller wine producers and producers at the more premium end really don't stand to benefit very much from shipping in bulk. If anything, they stand to lose because you might suffer issues in terms of the reputation and the provenance of your product.
Well, more of the globe's biggest or most major wine companies have been focused on the premium end of the market. And as we heard this week, that's certainly the direction Australia's biggest wine company, Treasury Wine Estates, is heading in. Is this a move that across the board has been successful for those companies in terms of profitability?
Well, what we're seeing is consumers sort of graduating to more premium wines in various parts of the world, and that's certainly the case here in Australia as well. But we still are, you know, there still is very much demand for wines at the more commercial mainstream end. The problem is that not all premium wine companies are really standing to benefit from that trend because you really have to have access to the right distribution channels and distribution partners. And so what we're actually seeing is a lot of premium wine suppliers struggling to benefit from these trends and to grow. And so we're seeing bigger, more commercial wine companies actually taking over premium wine companies because they'll be able to integrate that into their business and benefit from their access to distribution, particularly in the grocery retail trade and in other parts of the world and their export networks. So, for example, a couple of developments recently with Casella buying Peter Lehman Wines and Accolade buying Grant Burge Wines, I think they're examples of what's going on there.
The report is predicting that in the next 5 years, production in New World countries, which includes Australia and New Zealand, will be slowing down. What will drive that?
Well, there just hasn't been the same investment at the vineyard end that we've seen, you know, in the past. So certainly Australia has suffered very much a slowdown. Even the vineyard estate has shrunk over the last 5 or so years. New Zealand, after very rapid growth, suffered a few ups and downs over the last 5 years or so, and that really has affected investment at the vineyard end. So there's been a little bit of growth there, and we're starting to see a little bit more, but still not anywhere near the scale that we've seen in the past. And then in other parts of the world, there has been growth, but again, relative to what we've seen in the past, that really pales in significance.
Would it be fair to say that what the report predicts for the bulk wine exports and the consumption trends in major markets in terms of the growth in the US and China is basically more of the same of what we've seen in the past 5 years, but just at a bit of a slower rate?
Certainly in terms of the bulk wine trade. Look, in terms of which markets are in growth and which aren't, we've seen China slow down quite considerably over the last 12 to 18 months, even head backwards in terms of their demand for imported wines. You know, there are reasons for that, largely associated with the austerity measures that have been put in place and the anti-corruption drive in China. But longer term, we still see growth in the Chinese market, and it's quite a promising market for wine producers in the long term. So, you know, we do continue to expect to see growth there. The US, we believe, will remain a growth engine for the wine industry, but we also expect to see other markets coming on stream as wine consumption starts to grow in favour. You know, in some markets in Africa, for example, like Nigeria, some other markets in South America, like Brazil and the like, and even other markets in North and Southeast Asia, we expect to see some growth as well. But these markets still have a long way to go before ever reaching the sort of scale that we've seen in the US. Canada is also a very promising market, often gets overlooked. And so, you know, very much like the US has been quite positive, we continue to expect to see growth in that market, particularly at the premium end, and obviously China.